How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 230 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. You can check out the show. If you're feeling like you're in a super good mood or you're really enjoying a previous episode or whatever it may be, you can always leave a review too. Those always help. You can leave 5 stars as well if you're feeling like super generous. You can find us on audioboom.com also and log on to normantranscript.com. Now, I'm not writing right now. I am technically on vacation from work for a couple weeks, so there is no writing, but I'm still doing the podcast. But normally, you can log on to normantranscript.com and you can see my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my work there. You can at least catch up on my work. Previously, you can check it on Twitter and all that. I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as always, during this dry part of the off season. But now a guest who is never dry, always keeping it interesting, even in the hot days of the summer, is KFOR's Nikki K.
What's up, Vacation Fred? Woo!
Vacation Fred woke up 5 minutes before this podcast.
Wow, are you wearing a Hawaiian shirt right now?
There is no scenario in which I wear Hawaiian shirts. I used to wear Hawaiian shirts, like when I was like young, like when I was like 9 or so, I used to think they were like really nice and like dressy. So I used to wear like Hawaiian shirts when I had like 3 Hawaiian shirts that I used to wear when I was like 9 or 10, but I don't think they fit anymore.
All right. Hey, don't knock on the Hawaiian. As a SoCal native, we still regard the Hawaiian shirt as a staple of any nice wardrobe attire. So I'd say your 9-year-old self was ahead of the time.
Why do people from California like identify with Hawaii? They all identify with Hawaii. It's not Hawaii. It's actually extremely far from Hawaii.
This is so true. But you know what? I was wearing a Hawaiian shirt when I was 11 years old too. So I'm just gonna, that is definitely not something I wanted to make very public on this pod, but it's out there.
It's there. You now have to wear a Hawaiian shirt at some game next year.
No, but really, like, tell me about vacation for you so far. How has it been?
Well, it's entailed me not leaving my apartment. It's wonderful. But
you're such a recluse.
I am. I completely am. I'm going home to New York on Wednesday. This is great podcasting. Just talking about what a completely useless human being I am when I don't actually have work.
The listeners need to know about Fred Katz.
I become totally useless. I don't know what to do with my time. Like when I'm not working, I don't know what to do. Like I'm so used to working all the time, you know? I have no idea.
So I've
been watching documentaries. I sit around. I'm like just really being completely unproductive.
Well, you deserve a little R&R, but I'm sure it'll be no time before you start getting those Twitter fingers going.
Oh, I'm already bored.
Yeah.
I'm already bored. It's like already happened. Bryce Alford had an Instagram yesterday that he said he was signing with the Thunder. And for clarity's sake, maybe he is, but it's a training camp deal. They've got 15 guaranteed contracts if he is signing with the Thunder. And I got that, and I was like, oh, man, I have to write this. And I thought, oh, no, I don't. And then I just kind of got confused. It's like, what do I do?
What do I do? No, but that is pretty exciting for us UCLA alum out there, you know, the thought of having Russ and Alford both in Oklahoma City. I don't know. What do you make of that? Explain to listeners and myself what that ultimately means for this roster. Nothing.
He might be on the blue. He might not be on the blue. They might just cut him. But he's, you know, training camp deal. I mean, they've already got 15 guaranteed guys, plus Imaje is still around. I mean, you know, that's really all there is to make of it. And that's it.
I mean, okay.
That's all.
Yeah. So speaking of which, Samaje and what, T-Ferg was the 16th guaranteed contract, right?
Well, Samaje is not guaranteed.
Oh, so, okay, but, okay, so they still have to have 15 by the start of the season.
Right, Samaje will be waived or somebody else will be traded or they'll stretch Singler or something along those lines.
Okay, and what if you had to take an educated guess, what direction do you think they're going in?
Man, if I knew the answer to that, if you asked me that on June 29th, I'd be like, well, I think the roster is going to be pretty similar to what it was last
internal year. Internal development. Yeah. Internal development.
Yeah, like the day before they traded for Paul George, I tweeted out something along the lines of like a Sam Presti quote of him talking about the importance of continuity and how they have so much youth on the roster and they were the youngest team in the playoffs and, you know, they have to develop the talent that they already have because they're probably going to come back with a similar roster next year. And I tweeted it out saying, like, this may have been Sam Presti as we approach the offseason. Like, remember, this may have been Sam Presti's most important quote of media day. And then, like, the next day it was, you know, the Thunder traded for Paul George.
You know what that's better than, though? Working on a feature story at 8:35 on June 30th about how Victor Oladipo was attacking this offseason with a different purpose. And now that he knew his role with the Thunder, he was ready to excel one step further in the coming season.
That was amazing. I love that that happened to you. I mean, it sucks. It sucks so much, but like, it didn't suck for me. I just sat there watching and just watching this whole thing burn down, and it was hilarious.
I couldn't help but laugh. It was perfect in all sorts of ways.
It was great. The Thunder signed Terrence Ferguson. I haven't podcasted since the Thunder signed Terrence Ferguson. So,
all right, let's talk about T-Ferg. Were you a Black Eyed Peas fan, by the way?
Was I a Black Eyed Peas fan?
Yeah. Casual
Black Eyed Peas fan. I wouldn't say, you know, the biggest of diehards. But are you going to make a Fergalicious joke or some kind of Fergie-related joke?
Yeah, so I think of Fergie, and I always want to be like, Fergie Ferg, break it down, you know, but.
Oh, my God. I feel like I can't judge you because of my history with jokes like that, but that's like a really poor one.
And you also just went to a Backstreet Boys concert, so.
Well,
and
not just. It was a few years ago, but I have been to Backstreet Boys live, yes. And I'm very happy with it.
Okay. All right. Well, so Black Eyed Peas and Fergie reference is, I'm going to go ahead and rule acceptable for this podcast.
Fair enough. I'm going to give quick background on
okay.
You know, we talk about basketball on this podcast.
Every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. So the Thunder signed Terrence Ferguson. It took long enough. He's the last first-round pick who will sign, in all likelihood, who has signed. And four-year deal, some percentage of the rookie scale, still unsure what percentage of it is. Almost every first-round pick tends to get the 120% of the rookie scale.
Which could be 1.8 for him, right?
Right. 1.8 for him would be 120%, $1.5 million in 2017-18. $1.5 million is the rookie scale number. He could earn as low as $1.2 million. He actually gained clearance 2 weeks before. I reported earlier that morning that he had received clearance from a FIBA source, which I got to tell you, figuring out
look
that
at
clearance
you
stuff,
breaking news, Fred Katz.
Well, figuring out that clearance stuff was exhausting. I'll give you behind the reporting, because I guess that's what podcasts are for, right? You know why? You know part of the reason why this was really hard to report on and figure out, like, what was going on with Terrence Ferguson?
Was it because of the time difference?
It was 100% because of the time difference.
Oh my gosh, that's so that yeah, that would be a little bit tricky to navigate.
Yep, everyone was asleep when I wanted to talk to people, and then and then when they wanted to talk to me, you know, I was asleep, or I'm sure other people were looking into the story too.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of the fact that, like, I'll be honest, 3 months ago, I didn't really have sources in Australia or in FIBA. And I got this from a FIBA source. And, yeah, it just kind of, it ended up legitimately with me pulling an all-nighter because I just felt like I got so close and I just said, screw it. I pulled an all-nighter and learned about it in the middle of the night. And was like, oh, gosh, like this is an exhausting process just to learn that a dude got clearance from FIBA.
Do you personally kind of get a little adrenaline rush from breaking news? I mean, even like
yeah.
you said,
yeah.
it being,
sure.
yeah.
I mean, this is hardly like, you know, Ramona breaking the Paul George trade. Like this is a little
Come on,
bit,
Fred, give yourself a little bit more credit here.
It's a little less, but yeah, you totally get a rush from breaking news. Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know why, but you get it. You totally get it. It's like
yeah.
a cool thing to be able to break news, even if it's small stuff. What's weird is that reporting used to be, like NBA reporting, like beat reporters used to report way more.
Yeah.
Beat reporters don't really report that much anymore. Everything comes from the national reporters. Like everything is broken from like this core group of four or five guys. It's Woj or it's Shams or it's, you know, it used to be Stein. Now it's not.
Yeah.
It's Chris Haynes now, maybe a couple other people, maybe Sam Amick. I'm probably forgetting one or two people to whom I apologize. I mean, that's pretty much all the transaction news are reported by those people.
Yeah, and transaction, definitely. And I was going to say also, like, even in terms of just player news, that's also in the hands of them now with social media and stuff. You know, like, it's definitely more, or I would say less breaking on your part in general rather than analysis, I guess. With what you have to do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. No, it's interesting the way that the game for beat writers has changed, because beat mm-hmm. writers just aren't really reporting near. I mean, you know, back in the day, beat writers used to break a lot of local news, and that's just not really a thing. I think it happens in other sports a lot more. You'll see,
yeah.
like, I'll see guys in baseball, like, I'll see people in baseball, I'll see them break news, but you don't really see local beat writers, especially in the markets where teams, you know, teams are super tight-lipped, like, you know,
yeah.
Oklahoma City, for example. You don't see beat writers breaking news very often anymore. It's like it's a weird change within the industry. What do you expect from Terrence Ferguson?
Well, I mean, not a lot, to put it simply, but I think he has the potential. From everything I've seen, I was just rewatching some of his stuff on Draft Express, and it looks like he needs to bulk up a little bit, or, you know, at least learn how to defend a little bit more physically, right? And then I like his shooting, his technique. It's consistent, and I think he ultimately has that potential to be a solid 3-and-D player. I mean, there's only so much you can – this is all speculation, of course. But I don't know. I kind of actually got excited watching those profiles of his strengths and weaknesses. His dribble, right, is a little high, a little out of control. But some of those dunks he's capable of are just emphatic. So I think he's exciting, but I'm guessing he's going to be put through the Thunder internal development system before amounting to anything serious on the court.
I still find the inability to get clearance for him so weird. They didn't get clearance for him until July 14th. That was like
yeah.
3 weeks. after they drafted him. And so I have now become extremely abreast as to how clearance works through this, through this entire process. And clearance, in the Thunder's defense, clearance is not negotiated by the Thunder, technically.
Yeah.
It is not negotiated by the Thunder. It's negotiated between Adelaide and FIBA. And Adelaide, which was the Adelaide 36ers, were Ferguson's Australian League team. And they have to, you know, there's a letter that they have to write and they have to sign and they have to send to FIBA saying he is now cleared to sign this contract. And his buyout was a standard buyout, normal standard buyout, so there shouldn't have been complications in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thunder have done this process before. They did it as recently as last summer with Alex Abrines, who actually, I believe, had to pay some of his buyout because it was a more expensive buyout because it was Alex Abrines as opposed to Terrence Ferguson in, like, you know, what was anticipated a one-year venture, and a player who wasn't as integral to a team as Alex Abrines was to his in Spain. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird that it took so long. Like, the Thunder technically are not involved in the process, but what you can do, and someone who, I'll call it, someone who has done this process before in the NBA has told me, this is not a person associated with the Thunder at all, but someone who's mm-hmm. done this process in the NBA has told me what teams will do if, like, a FIBA, if an international team is lagging, they will write the letter themselves and just send it to whatever team that they're going to and say,
just sign it and send it in.
And the team will just sign it and send it in. So if it's that simple, and if the NBA team can take a hold of it to that degree, like, what was holding this thing up? It's just a weird thing. And this is more like gossipy than it is like a big deal. It's obviously not a big deal because he signed. I'm just surprised that it couldn't work out to where, like, he could play summer league, or surprised that it couldn't work out to where, like, that this took a while. I've now become fascinated by the concept of clearance. And, it's not a big deal. He's signed. He's going to be on the roster 3 months early. Like, it's not at all a big deal. So don't take it the impression that it is. It's just a weird thing.
What are the chances you think this has to do with the NBL as opposed to European leagues, right? Like, do you think it could be just a sign of, I don't want to say dysfunction, like, that's, you know, putting a negative cast or negative light on it, but I'm saying, like, do you think that extended prolonged process could be something because it was the Australian league? Like, I don't know.
Well, educated guess.
Uh-huh.
From what I've been told, the NBL is one of the easiest leagues to get clearance from.
Okay.
And that, like, you can get clearance from there, like, in a snap, usually. Like,
well, there goes that hypothesis.
Like, you want it, it's in the next day.
Interesting.
Notoriously, the toughest is China.
Interesting. Now, knowing Rich Paul, how do you think the negotiation went between Terrence and the Thunder? Like, do you think he got what he wanted? What would you?
I couldn't say for sure until I saw the final contract. You know, there's not that much to negotiate in a rookie deal. Like, you've got the rookie scale. If you're going to offer someone less than 120%, usually it's something that you talk to the agent. You mention that to the agent before that you actually draft the guy, so there's not going to be any sort of issue or anything like that. Like, for example, like, when the Thunder decided to send Josh Huestis to the D League instead of having him, you know, prolonging his rookie year by one deal, or by his rookie deal by 1 year. I'm reversing words. This is what happens when I turn my mind off for days. When the Thunder did that, like, that was pre-agreed upon. Huestis wasn't promised. They didn't say, we're definitely taking you. But they agreed before the draft. Like, if we take you, then you're going to go straight to the D League. And that was agreed upon. Like, Andre Roberson in 2013 took 80%. And I think before they technically traded for the pick for Roberson, but I think before they officially acquired Roberson, they discussed it with his people. They discussed with his people at BDA about taking 80%. Like, this wasn't necessarily, these aren't shockers. So I don't know what percentage Terrence Ferguson got as of now. I'm hoping to learn at some point. But, it's that shouldn't be something that would hold anything up. Like, I don't know why it took a little while, but I mean, it's obviously not no cause for concern or anything. He signed in July and he's fine. He signed earlier than like DeMontis Sabonis did last summer. It's just that the clearance thing was weird.
Well, okay. So I have to ask you, like, with your fascination with the clearance, and every time you say clearance, I want to say Clarence, like Clarence. Have you ever heard that like joke?
I've already made the joke to, I have a chat with like the other beat writers, and I've already made the joke of, do you know who Terrence Ferguson's favorite member of the E Street Band is?
Clarence
Clemens.
Love it. Because every time you say Clarence, I just want to say Clarence.
Can we just call it Clarence Clemens the rest of the time?
Yeah, perfect. No, but I'm wondering if your fascination with this clearance means that there was something else going on that we don't really know about. Or
I don't know about anything. I don't know about anything. That's why I'm fascinated by it. I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm just curious to know why it took a while. I've never heard of something of it taking this long. I'm just curious to know why it took a while. It was a weird thing.
Yeah.
But it's here.
Yeah.
You want to move on? You want to talk about?
We've talked a lot about Terrence and Clarence. Oh, man.
I don't know why we're laughing.
All right.
Jerseys? I want to get your take on the jerseys came out on Wednesday. I talked about it on my last podcast with Connor, but I got to get the Nikki K take on these, you know, air quote, new jerseys.
Okay, wait, but before we dive into this, I just have to give you a little in the moment observation. I came into this podcast with one word written on my piece of paper or my notebook in front of me, and it was singular, okay? But since the start of the pod, I've started doodling all over my piece of paper, and right now, as it stands, the piece of paper is like maybe 100 hearts and the word singular.
You're like a middle school girl with a crush.
Yeah, I know. And I'll take a picture and maybe tweet it out. It might, you know, just discredit my journalistic reputation. But it's definitely worth a good giggle. But anyway,
why was singular on note?
Okay, so before we really get into my opinion of the jerseys, I was dying because with that, the team was out in LA at dinner, right? And then a TMZ reporter somehow tracked down that, oh, the Thunder's at this, you know, spot in LA. So you see the TMZ reporter's footage as Andre Robertson's walking into the restaurant, and it looks like, you know, cell phone video, and the guy's like, oh, Andre, what do you think about your new uniforms, your new jerseys? What do you think about them? You know, Andre kind of brushes him off. And then clearly the reporter waited for the team to exit the restaurant. And he gets like an exclusive one-on-one with Kyle Singler, I guess, Singler standing out there. And he starts asking Singler about the jerseys. And I loved Singler's response because he's basically like, the guy's like, what do you think about the new jerseys, blah, blah, blah. And Kyle's like, well, they look great. I haven't actually seen them. You know, I've seen them on the phone, on my phone. So that was awesome. You know, so you can tell from the get-go that Kyle's giving this reporter kind of like the runaround. And then they start getting into the nitty-gritty about what it means to be sleeveless, because the reporter's like, don't you miss the, you might remember this better than me, he's like, don't you miss the sleeveless jerseys?
Because that was so many conversations I've had with Kyle Singler.
Yeah, and Kyle's like, well, aren't all jerseys sleeveless? I just started dying, because I felt like he was totally just kind of playing dumb, but actually controlling, you know, the reporter at the same time, which I got a good chuckle at. It's worth a watch. One of the many gems of that TMZ video, including Enes Kanter calling out Dre for his poor tipping at the end.
They are never going to let that tipping thing die.
Yeah. Yeah. It's excellent. It's so great.
So when Andre signed his contract, the way it worked was like each of the beat writers got a one-on-one with Dre. He didn't do a press conference, but like Royce got him one-on-one for 15 minutes. I got him one-on-one for 15 minutes. And the Oklahoman got him one-on-one for 15 minutes. We all went into a private room with Andre and that sounds disgusting. And, I was going to say, we got him one-on-one, but that sounds.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm gonna rewind.
Then you just did say it.
I'm going to rewind. So each of the beat writers got Andre one-on-one in a daylight setting. And so when I was talking to Andre, I asked him about the tipping stuff, and I tweeted out, this was, three weeks ago maybe. I tweeted out the transcript from that. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. I tweeted out the transcript from that. It's out there on Twitter somewhere, and maybe onto Reddit and all that stuff. And at some point, Andre started laughing, and I made some crack about Steven and Enes, and he just started saying to me, "Oh man, don't break those guys up. Please don't break those guys up.
It's they're too excellent.
They won't let the tipping thing die. They won't. The Steven tweet, Enes coming after him with the, you can't do that, bro. Like, Enes screaming on a TMZ video. I hate those TMZ videos, though. Don't the ambush interviews, like, make you so uncomfortable? Like, obviously, Kyle didn't care. Enes wants the attention, so Enes loves it. But everybody else just, like, was trying to go to dinner and didn't want to deal. And Kyle probably didn't want to deal either, but he's just an extremely nice guy, so probably didn't care. Russell certainly didn't want to deal. Although it was probably really cool for that random family standing there on the street, and all of a sudden Russell Westbrook walks by and points at you and says,
"He's talking to you."
Yeah.
Wait, speaking of which, Fred, this is a perfect little segue. Russell just posted on Instagram, you know how you can post multiple pics in one Insta post now where you swipe along? Mm-hmm. Well, from his trip at Disneyland yesterday, apparently he took a collection of photos with random strangers. And he literally, his post is the all caps, random photos, ... LOL, why not? And it's literally an assortment of pictures with him with random strangers, just kind of pointing at them and going and shrugging. And like the strangers just like stoked like that. So it's like someone cleaning up the park, a group of not sorority girls. That was an unfair stereotype, a security guard. But this is definitely a post worth checking out. I appreciate Russell's ability to make a scene wherever he goes.
That's pretty solid. That's like how Kevin Spacey likes to photobomb strangers' photos.
Yes. Yes.
Like imagine if you were just like taking a photo and you know, you look at it and you're like, let's see how this was. And Kevin Spacey is just photobombing it in the background.
You're like, oh my gosh, oh, that's Kevin Spacey.
That wouldn't ruin any photo. Like, that would be amazing.
No, that'd be a keeper.
It doesn't matter. Even if they're like engagement photos, I'd be like, this is the greatest engagement photo ever.
This is going out on the wedding invites.
Were you disappointed Russ didn't end up playing in the Drew League?
Not really. I mean, Yeah. No. I mean, that was my lead in story on Saturday. Like, oh, Russell speculated to take on, James Harden and CP3 and in LA. Like, this is exciting. But actually, I got a much greater kick out of watching him and his family have a great time at Disneyland via Snapchat on Sunday. So, I think it's important, and it's a reminder that, like, you know, there's life outside of ball.
There's life outside of ball. Don't tell that to the people who say ball is life.
Oh, man.
You're going to crush them.
Okay, so we were talking about the jerseys. Sorry, I got really sidetracked to a philosophical.
That's all this. That's what this podcast is. There's legitimately nothing important going on right now.
Hashtag summer pod. Summer pod.
Total summer pod.
Not to be confused with summer bod. Am I right?
All right, jerseys. Let's do it. Let's be productive. Let's talk about something people care about.
Yeah. So we both agree that the jerseys did not change.
Oh yeah, I mean they didn't change.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't change. With the exception of some better wicking, right? For less sweat or to absorb more sweat, one of the two.
Absorbs 30%. Wicks. I don't know if it absorbs. I don't know if wick is technically absorbing.
Yeah. You wouldn't want it to absorb because that'd be kind of gross running around with like a mop on you.
Yeah. Like wet. Yeah. Probably smell real bad. Yeah. Although those like probably got to change. Although it's guys are for the most part like, I mean, they're getting new jerseys. So this is not, this is not an NBA player issue. But when you're buying the jerseys, so like dry fit shirts are great to work out in, but they start to smell bad after a while.
Yes.
Like you have to throw them out. It's not like a cotton shirt where it's like, I've had this shirt for forever. And with dry fit, you got to throw them out. So like, I feel like with these jerseys, granted for the most part with basketball jerseys, your normal person when they wear a basketball jersey is going to wear something under the basketball jersey. Because, like, I, for example, I'm not going to have, like, my hairy shoulders out there for the public. That would just be rude. But
save us!
but this is going to hurt the life of the jersey for the average fan. I mean, the players, it doesn't matter because they get new ones all the time. But for the average fan, when you go out and buy a jersey, like, your jersey's going to smell a little more. Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so you're telling people to stay away from vigorous exercise in their new jerseys.
Yeah. Wear something under it when you go. I'm just. Oh my god, I hate those people who just shouldn't be wearing sleeveless shirts. Going and wearing sleeveless, like going wearing basketball shirts out in public.
And you're like, put it away. Yeah, put it away.
Don't do that. I would never wear that out in public. I will occasionally wear a sleeveless shirt to sleep because it's a very comfortable shirt and I still feel self-conscious. And I'm just in bed by myself and I'm still like, is this breaking decorum? I'm not sure.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. Thank you for sparing the public of your discomfort that you clearly feel when no one's watching.
What do you think of the actual, you think they should change them?
So here's the deal. A lot of people seem to take issue with the Thunder logo, right? You agree it's not, or you've gone on saying that it's not one of your favorites.
Yeah, no, I think it's an ugly logo, yeah.
Okay, for me, I love it because I know, right? Flame emojis all over the place. But like when I look at the Thunder logo, I think, you know, oh, this is so super groovy, kind of retro. It reminds me of like something back in the day from Nickelodeon, you know, with the orange splat kind of. And so I like it, but then I think I've even mentioned this to you before. I like it. And then I remember, well, that's not really what NBA logos are going for, like to be cool, you know, graphic, retro statements, I guess. So I guess in that sense, why I like it isn't really in line with what an NBA team's mission with their logo should necessarily be. So maybe I'm liking it for the wrong reasons, but I personally don't mind it. I do agree with you though. There are too many shades of blue. There's like blues all over the place. And that is a little confusing. I'm glad that the Thunder, they did away with those, what were they called, the Midnight Blues last year?
Yeah, those navies?
Yes, the navies.
I liked and the navies.
You did? What?
Yeah, those were my favorite Thunder uniforms.
Oh, my gosh.
Even though navy is like not one of their colors. colors.
Yeah, navy's not one of their colors. I did not like those. I know you didn't like the sunset. I loved the sunset. I thought that was pretty cool. And then I did not like the jammer. I call them the jammers because they remind me of PJs, the white short sleeve ones. Kyle Singler would disagree that those are a long sleeve, or I don't even know what he would classify them as. But I did not like those, the jammies. And the ones that they're sticking with, I'm kind of, you know, indifferent towards, I guess, if that makes any sense. Like, they don't get me fired up, but they don't also repulse me. I have heard some people say, like, stick to just OKC, not Oklahoma City, in terms of lettering. I also agree with that. I think the three letters is a brandable deal, especially in the NBA. And then let's see what else. Oh, I kind of liked some, you know, how people were coming out with all these mock-ups. I liked the idea of black ones. I don't get why the Thunder don't have black, but.
Well, they might. They might. There's still two alternates waiting to come out.
So. Oh, keeping us in suspense. And exactly. I like.
Those are in the fall. Those are sometime in the fall.
Okay. Well, and isn't also the Christmas one, it's not going to be necessarily a Christmas edition, but like a new one, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, because I've heard that the new, or that the edition that comes out on Christmas, or it's going to come out before Christmas, but it won't just be a specifically, like, you know how last year during Christmas
they always do the Christmas jerseys, yeah.
Yeah, which I actually really liked. I thought the lettering looked great, but it was, you know, just a very holiday-esque sort of deal. But I've
this year they're doing Hanukkah jerseys this year.
Oh man.
The whole league wears the jersey.
Mazel tov.
The whole league wears the jerseys for 8 nights. It's a big
deal.
Yes. Yeah.
That'd be pretty spectacular. But yeah, no, I guess I'm kind of bummed like that there isn't something new. But maybe they just wanted to keep something constant and I guess amidst all the change, I'm not really sure why they didn't change things up.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see what the alternates are. I don't really like the Thunder's jerseys. I kind of think they're boring, and I kind of think they're a little ugly. I am glad they got rid of the sunset.
I thought for being orange, it worked. But like you said, I wouldn't necessarily go buying an orange on orange outfit.
I used to speaking of Fred's old wardrobe. I've always disliked orange. Yet I went against my own likings.
Set the scene.
15, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was pretty trendy.
Were you wearing flat bill hats?
I still wear flat bill hats.
All right. So you were wearing.
Although
a flat bill.
I don't really wear many of them anymore.
Okay.
But I still wear that that Seahawks corduroy flat bill hat.
And can you educate the podcast listeners on your history as a Seattle Seahawks fan?
There is none.
Exactly. So there is a very confusing reason as to why Fred Katz will show up to Thunder practices wearing a corduroy flat bill Seattle Seahawks hat. If anybody,
it's a cool hat.
It's pretty groovy. I'm not gonna.
It's like a early '90s logo. It's a cool hat. It's a very like 1993 hat.
How you feel about that hat is kind of how I feel about the Thunder logo.
that doesn't make me feel good at all.
No, but I'm saying, like, that's why I like the Thunder logo.
I normally get solid reviews on that hat. Uh-huh. I have a lot of NBA snapbacks, but I feel weird wearing them now that I cover the league. I feel weird, like, actually wearing the snapbacks and, like, wearing one for a particular team. But I have a lot of, like, like early 90s. Like I have a Spurs early 90s. I have a Clippers or like late 80s logo. I have a Pacers one. I have a Suns one. Like I have a Vancouver Grizzlies.
Okay,
all from like the 90s and maybe some from like a little earlier.
Like that is so legit. I would say stop feeling weird and just own it and rep those, because those are gems. Like, you know, and I don't think anybody's gonna knock you for owning some cool NBA swag that's got some history to it. You know, I don't know. I should
wear them based on who the Thunder are playing.
Yes, be fearless, Fred.
I'm sure Russ would love that if I showed up to the Suns game wearing Suns gear.
Hashtag why not?
speaking of throwbacks, how's this for a transition? Speaking of throwbacks,
yes.
So there's talk of like there being throwbacks for the alternates, like other teams, and the Oklahoman has reported that the Thunder are not going to wear a Sonics jersey. I don't know why that even became a thing of people wanting to wear Sonics. Like,
yeah.
That would be so mean to people from Seattle if they wore Sonic stuff. Like that's like it's unreal that people thought that was going to happen.
It wouldn't make any sense. I mean, I don't view. I'm aware of the history, right? But like, I don't view those brands as being even in the same lineage, right? Like, it just doesn't have that continuity that Sam Presti so prides himself on, in my mind, when I view, you know, like I know the Lakers relocated, whatever, like they've got those throwbacks of, you know, paying tribute to old colors and all that. But like, I would not ever expect the Oklahoma City Thunder to show up in green and yellow. No.
Yeah. So like, remember, so, like, you know how, like, the Charlotte Hornets came back and they just kind of took back their old history, even though they were the Bobcats? Like, they just kind of pretended like they didn't used to be the Bobcats. And they were like, well, we're the Hornets now and we're taking the Hornets history, even though the Hornets became the Pelicans.
Yeah.
If there were a new Sonics team, they would do the same thing. Like, if they started a new team in Seattle, they would name them the Sonics. And they would take that back, even though Oklahoma City is the Sonics. Like, they would take back that Sonics history. Like, it would be a weird thing. It would be a weird way to heckle people in Seattle. Now, I think there is a cool way to design the alternates. And here's my thing.
Oh, okay.
Here's my idea. And this is fashion designer me, which has... Now, keep in mind, I do have lots of experience watching Project Runway. So
I do not need to know why, but
because it's a great show. I don't watch it anymore. I don't even know if it's still on, but I watched like the first five seasons of Project Runway. It was very good.
Oh,
it was super,
no.
Super entertaining show.
And also you were also watching Gossip Girl at the same time. So
I was watching Gossip Girl after.
Okay. Cause Gossip Girl has tremendous fashion. So I don't blame you for getting some of your fashion savvy from that show as well.
There you go. So I think they could use the Oklahoma City Hornets jerseys as a kind of inspiration for like a cool alternate. Like those didn't say Hornets on them. Like the home jerseys, the red ones, they were like, everyone forgets those jerseys because they didn't look like Hornets jerseys. And that team, you know, barely existed. They were in Oklahoma City for, you know, a blink of an eye and that was it. But that was like the reason that basketball came to Oklahoma City. You know, they had the hurricane in New Orleans and you know, the Hornets had to find a last second home and they were able to come to Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City showed that it could sustain as a basketball market. And that kind of first put the idea in the NBA's head of, hey, this is an actual thing that could potentially happen. Like there could be a professional basketball team in Oklahoma City. And I think it would be cool. Like, that Hornets team doesn't exist anymore. You're not really, they're the Pelicans now. Like, those jerseys said Oklahoma City on them, so you could just still have them say Oklahoma City. It's not Thunder colors, but I think it's like a cool homage. Even though it was only like 12 or 13 years ago, it feels like a lot longer ago than that. And even though it was like only a little more than a decade ago, it's like a cool homage to like the start of basketball in Oklahoma City. And I think like that's a cool thing you can do. If you want to, if you want to show the history, show the history of Oklahoma City basketball. Don't necessarily do the history of like this organization that, like, quite frankly, everybody in the league thinks you stole, and then like show off what you stole. Like, that's a weird. That would be a weird thing.
Yeah. No. 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 I actually really like that. I'm on board. That to me has relevance and meaning and pays a proper tribute. No. I good job, Fred. Good job.
It's all that Project Runway.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Project Runway.
Now, am I going to get crap for saying that they stole the Sonics?
I'm expecting all your listeners to start throwing Twitter shade at you.
Good. I already get that anyway.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Can we talk a little bit about just how much fun this NBA summer has been?
We can.
What have you enjoyed most about this quote unquote off season, which really hasn't been an off season?
It hasn't been an off season, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like every single thing. Like, there's like I figured that this was a good time to take off because, like, what happens? It's the last weekend in July. It's going into August. Nothing happens at this time. And it's like, man, everything is happening. It's unbelievable. My favorite thing around the league, not Thunder related.
Yeah.
What's yours? Let me think. Tell me yours and I'll tell you.
Okay. Think about it. I mean, this might be a little bit of recency bias in saying what my favorite thing has been, but I just love the ability of players to get involved on social media now. And it always seems like there's something funny going on, and not necessarily Steph taking social media into his own accord with this, but I love this post over the weekend of Steph jamming out at Harrison Barnes' wedding. And he just so happened to be dancing to the same song that LeBron James was working out in a weight room when he posted a Instagram video following the Cavs loss to Golden State. And then Steph took it upon himself to start doing the same weightlifting gestures and moves that LeBron was doing in his highly publicized Instagram video. So there you have Steph trolling Bron and who's right beside him laughing with all this mirth in his eyes is Kyrie Irving. And I just got such a kick out of it.
Social media is a good answer there. I wonder, like, if social media were around in like the 90s and like,
if we'd get these same antics.
I mean, I'm sure we would. I wonder who the stars it would be. Like, imagine if Shaq had social media during his career.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Imagine the subtweets of Kobe. Like, yeah. if he had Twitter in 2002, like imagine what Shaq would be doing on social media. Like, an unhinged, like, this is mature Shaq.
Yeah.
Who's throwing Burns at LaVar Ball. Who, by the way, I said on the podcast that I had done a 180 on LeVar Ball like 2 weeks ago, and I didn't like him at first. And I was like, you know what? I've come around. I like him.
And now you've done the heel turn.
I should have stuck to my original impression. That was a poor choice on my part.
I agree. I'm confused about my personal feelings about him as well, because it's like, I don't know, this whole ref deal is stirred up something that I don't know really what he was trying to accomplish, and him sounding off to his documentary crew after that. Stop while you're ahead, just stop. And he's not, I don't know if you can call him ahead even. Like, it's exhausting.
You know what the problem is? The problem is he's funny.
Yes.
He's really funny. And that's the problem. Like, when you're really funny, whether it's media, whether it's just general people out there, because everyone is some form of media nowadays. Like, my 68-year-old father has Twitter.
I mean, and I followed him.
There you go. You're one of his, like, 35 followers. He's really pumped. Yes. He texts me every time he tweets. He says, hey, I tweeted if you want to check it out. He texts me every time.
Hey Fred, give me a little RT, please.
He said the other day he was going to try to start a Twitter war with Ann Coulter, It didn't go. It didn't go to his liking. She didn't respond.
It didn't
shockingly.
Stick.
Yeah, shockingly, she didn't respond. But like he's on Twitter now. Like everyone is some form of media, and when that's the case, and somebody's funny, like this is how we ended up with our president. That person who's funny can end up getting a lot more time and a lot. You're just way more prone to hear that person's voice because everyone's going to be like, "Holy crap, this is funny." And the problem is that LeVar is funny, but all the other stuff isn't too endearing, but he keeps showing up because what he's doing is a lot of the times it's funny and it just keeps showing up and.
Yeah.
It's a weird part of today's media culture that didn't exist, you know, however many years ago, 15 years ago or whatever.
I go back and forth on it because part of me understands what he's doing in terms of marketing himself, his brand, and his sons. But then, and I feel like I have been a lot more forgiving in my understanding of, in that sense, like, you know, and be like, well, he's kind of actually genius. But then when with this ref stuff, and I'm not even saying it because I'm a girl, like I don't know, Fred Katz. Here we are talking about LeVar Ball.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Let's not.
Yeah.
I've sent out my two tweets on why it's like completely absurd. What were we talking about? Oh, instead, let's talk about the mature things, like subtweeting people on Instagram.
Yeah. Yes. or throwing shade with dance moves at a wedding. But that's kind of fun. Like, hey guys, let's all mock LeBron James, and it just so happens it's Steph Curry. Like, you know, I don't know. I loved it. But I guess when I say that's my favorite part about the NBA summer, like that's not really my like. I'm sure there's a better moment I could think of, but. That just had me in chuckles this weekend.
That was funny.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Have you had a moment where you're like, Lord, I love the NBA. Do you ever have those still?
Okay,
good.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So much has happened this summer.
Yes.
That I don't really remember anything.
But you know what I mean?
Like if there was less, I would know more. Things happen.
How'd you feel about what the Paul George event evolved into? Like, what was your honest thoughts on that? You know, as a journalist.
I wasn't there, though. I wasn't there. If I were there for it, if I were at the Paul George, like the welcome party, you mean?
Yeah. No. And I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like as a reporter, I'm saying as someone who consumes sports and enjoys sports and what that scene looks like from afar, did you find yourself wishing you were there?
Yeah, 100%. Granted, I was in Vegas, so I was probably at a at a slightly crazier environment later that evening. But it
Fred, rub it in, you one upper.
But it did look like a really cool time.
Yeah,
I wish I were there to see it. Now, granted, like media, we don't get to go. Like we're always kind of sequestered out in some corner of the room, and we can't walk around and distract. You know, the paying customers who are there to have a good time and whatnot. But it would have been cool. It would have been cool to be there. That's like why I was excited to go to Jones Assembly just to see that place. You know.
Oh, shoot. We might have to get Jones Assembly as your next SeatGeek sponsor on this pod.
No, I'm just advertising Jones Assembly.
Yeah. You know what, though? I did notice at the event, which I wonder if they were like playing, they had a DJ playing like actual music. Not, you know how the Thunders, the Peak has maybe five songs that they rotate through.
Yep.
Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yes.
Yes. I would hope you would after all your nights spent there. But I was just wondering, I was like, maybe the Thunder might get a little hip with it this season in the Peak. But then again, they didn't change their jerseys, so I don't know if the soundtrack is going to be changing at games. But that was just a random thought I had.
That'd be something.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Be something. Get an organist. Like, get what's the name of the guy in Atlanta? Sir Foster. Bring over your own version of Sir Foster.
Oh, you lost me there.
Oh, Sir Foster is the organist in Atlanta. Does some cool stuff.
Oh, at the Hawks Arena?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were just referencing a very random organist.
All right, that's where we leave. Nikki K, what do you got going on? What do you need to tell the people?
Oh, let's see. I am just excited for more basketball eventually. my closings on this pod are always horrific.
That was a terrible and extremely generic statement.
You caught me off guard because I was working on a lightning bolt over my heart on my Singular notebook page. No, let's see. Coming up, I mean, I'm just trying to enjoy the remaining days of summer. Maybe tweeting out some stuff. I don't know. Maybe you can edit this part out.
No, I'm leaving it all in. I'm gonna let you slowly deteriorate.
I'm crumbling to pieces. No, I always enjoy it when listeners of the Locked On Pod let me know if I should be back on. You know, that's great. But yeah, you can follow me at Nikki K, KFOR. And I'm just looking forward to the remaining days of summer.
Oh man.
I could tell people that I'll be covering Oklahoma football, but my guess is if they're listening to this podcast, they don't really give two flips about that.
Well, some people might.
Some people might.
I'm sure there are some people who listen to this who are also OU football fans. I'm not one of them.
Okay.
I know who Baker Mayfield is, though.
Oh,
that's a
Fred
thing.
Katz.
He's a person.
Fred Katz.
The only reason I know about him is because he got arrested.
Oh.
So.
Drama.
I don't even know. I assume he's good because I hear about him. But I don't even know what level of good he is.
He's all right.
Well, I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so I'll be back on Thursday. iTunes to subscribe and leave a review. Those are always helpful. They're really helpful with the iTunes rankings, however the heck they do that. I'll be honest. I have no idea how they do it. They tell me reviews are helpful. So if you have something nice to say, you can always leave a review, give 5 stars, that kind of stuff there. Questions or comments, you can email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. I'm not writing for the next week and a half or so. I think I'm going to be back on the 13th or 14th of August and taking 2 weeks
live
off.
Live your life.
Oh, yeah.
Live your life.
2 weeks off. 2 weeks off. Podcasting with you is never actually working, though, Nikki K.
Oh.
Except for the editing part. The editing part is working. So half of it is not actually working. But in the future, you can check out my work on normantranscript.com, and you can check out all the other stuff on normantranscript.com while I'm out there. And I'm sure we'll be writing about Baker Mayfield and whoever else is on OU football during the meantime. I couldn't tell you who, but somebody. And you can check out that stuff there. So that's going to do it for today. I'll be back Thursday. Thank you, Nikki K, for coming on. Until Thursday, Locked On Thunder is locking up.